Have you ever dreamed of one day owning your own business, but just don't know where to begin? Then you've tuned into the right show. On All Things Franchising, you will hear from top national franchisers, successful franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, and others who support this fast-growing business model. So grab a cup of coffee and pen and notepad, because you will want to capture the invaluable information you hear on today's show. And now, here is your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, welcome to All Things Franchising. This is Linda Ballesteros and I'm your host today. And I'm so appreciative when people carve out time out of their busy day to spend with me, because remember, as I always say, that time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So I appreciate you. Today, we're going to be talking about the mobile car care industry and some consumer trends I found was pretty interesting. I read an article that went on to say, according to industry research, there is significant demand for mobile car care services. Busy schedules and rising spending power are contributing to this demand. And I have to tell you, there are many, many times that I drive by a car wash and think, gosh, I sure need to get my car washed, but I don't have 45 minutes to have that done. So today my guest is Scott Wingo. Scott is CEO of Spiffy and a four-time serial entrepreneur. He's an industry thought leader in e-commerce, e-service, and the future of mobility. Spiffy is a mobile on-demand car care service franchise that leverages technology to create an easy experience for their customers. Please help me in welcoming Scott to the show. Scott, welcome to the show. Hello, Scott. Looks like we have problem connecting with Scott. So we will bring him back on. Scott, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Unfortunately, you didn't get in early enough for us to check the sound. So folks, looks like we've got Scott on the line now. So Scott, thanks so much for being on the call today. And tell me just a little bit, before we get into Spiffy, tell me a little bit about your background and how you got started and what launched Spiffy.
Yeah, I have a background in software. So I have a degree in computer engineering. And as you mentioned, I've done several startups in the software world. And I ended up buying a car wash in 2003 as a diversification strategy. I figured if I'm doing all this high-risk software startups, I need something on the other end of the risk spectrum. And then I built another car wash in 2005. So then flash forward to 2013, I had my first Uber experience using the Uber app. And as an e-commerce guy, what was exciting to me about that is I saw the opportunity that I think services are going to go digital. So Andreessen Horowitz talks about, you know, software eating the world. And if you've ever driven a Tesla or anything like that or used e-commerce, you've seen software really disrupt different areas. I call that going digital. And I was thinking, you know, when services go digital, that's going to be huge, because if you look at GDP, consumer services are twice the size of consumer goods. So we're going to see a opportunity that's twice the size of e-commerce kind of happen very quickly, because e-commerce has already laid the groundwork for people spending all their time on their phones, and our phones have become the remote control for our lives. Mm-hmm. So all that was swirling around in my head and started an experiment that became Spiffy in 2014.
Very good. And so, you know, I think it's so very interesting, Scott, because Spiffy is providing a service, and it's a service that it is something that people need. You know, it's one of those services that even though we need it, we can say, oh, that's too much trouble. So I think by you bringing in more of an e-commerce element to it, it really streamlines it so that it makes it so very simple. Folks, I don't know if you have ever had used a mobile car cleaning, car cleaning service, car wash service. But I had the pleasure several months ago of being able to do that because I had I was visiting in a networking group, and one of their attendees actually did car washing. So I was able to have that my car washed while I was in a meeting. So are you seeing, Scott, that more and more people are almost multitasking while they are taking care of business?
Yeah, and the first thing we discovered when we launched 50, so we put an app out there, and we assumed that it would be the same as we see in the physical car wash world, and that people would want their car washed on the weekends. Well, the first thing we discovered is when you give people an app and they have total control, like you, they love to have their car washed while they're at work. So the number one way we get to consumers is through their office parks. So we'll go to an office park and get added as an amenity at that office park. And it makes it super flexible because you just go to work. You give our technician the keys and they do the work. And then, and because our customer is this convenience-oriented consumer, which sounds like you're one of our target audience there, our brand promise is that we take zero friction to deliver the service. So we even have a way for you to get the keys to us if we're not there. We have a special box we've created to get your keys. So that's what we found is people love multitasking, especially if they value their time, part of this being a convenience-oriented consumer. They love to have things done while they are doing other things. Why wait in line for 45 minutes getting your car washed? A lot of times you have to do half of it yourself. Why not have it done while you're doing something else is a total win.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, and as you're speaking, Scott, I'm thinking, business complexes and office buildings, those are certainly a great target. But I'm also thinking, how about some of the car rental places or companies that have fleets? Would those be a good client for you as well?
They are, and to continue with the kind of the founding story, so we started 2014, and we were adding office parks and doing residential services for car washing, and then our vision has always been to add more services, so we added oil change based on consumer feedback of what they wanted us to do next. Mm-hmm. The unintended consequence of oil change was it is very popular with our fleet partners, so fleets do need some washing services, but a lot of their preventative maintenance work is kicked off by the oil change that has to happen. So a lot of times they'll hold off on tire rotation, wash, and everything until an oil change. So getting an oil change was a huge game changer for us. And you have guessed correctly, fleet is one of the fastest growing parts of our business, and now it's 80% of our business is working with very large fleets. We work with all the rental car partners. We work with what I call vehicle 2.0 fleets, some of these next generation fleets. We work with EV fleets, autonomous fleets, even companies like Carvana and whatnot that have lots of vehicles that need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking about, last year, okay, let's talk about it, folks. We can't pass up the elephant in the room, so to speak. So it was the whole pandemic. Now, did you see that the pandemic changed any of the offerings that Spiffy had?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about it, we have consumer residential, consumer office park, and fleet. Fleet is largely rental car companies. So the first thing that was impacted was offices. So obviously that is the kind of took a year off. But what's nice when you have kind of what I would say a portfolio of channels is you just like portfolio theory, you have a plan B most times. Our plan B was residential. So we really just cranked up residential because folks weren't going into the office. So on the consumer side, we had that. Then what happened with our rental car partners is there was in that initial lockdown of 30 to 45 days, it was rough. But then what happened is people started to get stir crazy. And even though they were still city locked down, they could leave their house and they didn't feel comfortable traveling by air. So what they would do is they would say, let's say they were in New York and they wanted to go to Miami, they would rent a car. So the car rental business came back to about 80% of prior levels. So that really got us through the pandemic. And then now here we are, as things are thawing out, it's a bit crazy because everyone wants to travel. Everyone feels like going back to work. And we have a ton of activity going on right now.
Yeah, I can definitely see where that would have increased because the way we live our life, especially last year, was very different than the way that we had been living our life. So now that we've kind of laid the groundwork of the demand out there, and I do believe that this is a great service because, you know, like I said, and I don't have a lot of time in the day, Scott, and I really don't want to spend it at a car wash or waiting for my car to get an oil change. I really am, I admit it, I'm a little impatient. But when you're looking for prospective franchisees, who are you looking for, Scott? Are you looking for someone who has had prior service service industry experience? Who's a perfect franchisee for you?
Yeah, we found there's interesting personas there. And, you know, I think the commonality is they have to be entrepreneurial. And I imagine everyone listening to the show is entrepreneurial. So that's an easy one. And then I would say there's four or five personas. There is the persona of someone that's come from the auto services industry. Maybe they've worked their way up through a career and been a manager and saved some money and want to open their own company. But we do have a fair number of people that view this as a great idea for somewhat passive income. So they want to invest in bringing Spiffy to a city, and they see the opportunity and the demand, and they really they want to hire a general manager to run the day-to-day. And this is kind of like what I did when I bought a car wash way back in 2003. I was kind of the silent partner in the whole thing and just really used it for passive income, if you will. So I would say it's 20% previous operators that really want to do this, and 80% people that view it as an investment and they're going to hire someone to operate the business day to day.
And so when someone decides they want to become a franchisee of Spiffy, what type of training do you provide them?
Yeah, and I should do a couple quick background things. So we are in 20 markets in Spiffy with an owned and operated kind of model. So we didn't want to franchise until I could. I've supported entrepreneurs and other businesses, and I know that they, they're taking a lot of risk, and we wouldn't want a franchisee to really kind of have a ton of risk. So we wanted to de-risk this thing. So we opened up 20 markets ourselves. So we've developed a pretty rigorous playbook and set of training that we put our team through. So it's the exact same thing. So, we bring them on site, the general manager, and walk through a multi-day, kind of a whole week of doing things. And then we go on site for them to help train when they have technicians and those kinds of things. And then we're, because we're very aligned with our franchisees to be successful, we really are available to come and do any training necessary, and we have tons of materials that get into any kind of specific situation, like, a vehicle has a lot of pet fur, or you're, doing the oil change on a vehicle that has a weird configuration, or, you do get some of these edge cases, and because we've serviced, almost a million vehicles at this point, I think we've seen kind of everything we're going to see, and we've documented all that. We provide all that to our franchisees.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're looking at launching the business, is it necessary to, it's certainly not, since it's a mobile, it's not necessary to have a storefront, but is it necessary to have a industrial space for storage?
Yeah, we think, so in our model, we like to have a centralized location where the vans are stored and replenished, and at the end of the day. Another thing we haven't talked about is we bring, to make this work, we bring the water with us. So, you don't want to, if you think about that convenience-oriented consumer, you don't want someone showing up at your office or house saying, hey, Linda, I'm here to clean your car. Can I connect to your water? Can I come in and get a bucket of water? So we have to bring everything with us that we need. And then another part of our DNA at Spiffy is to be as green as possible. So we use very little water. We use green chemicals. And we wash every vehicle on a mat. And that mat collects the water. We suck it out of there back up onto the truck into a separate dirty water vessel. And at the end of the day, we run that water through a reclamation system. So all those things require us to have a place to fill water, refill water, and reclaim the water. So, and then the same thing happens with oil. We capture the oil that we do, and then we recycle all the oil. So so we do need a warehouse. Now, it's pretty small, so it's typically 2,500 to five. So, you know, and the rent on that is going to be, you know, depending on where you are, anywhere from five to, I think the highest is certain areas of California. Maybe it would be as high as $10,000 to $12,000 rent. And that's really why it's relatively inexpensive to get into this franchise. You're not building a building. You don't have, you know, like if I think of a restaurant where you've got all the upfit of a restaurant building and a consumer, anything consumer facing, you're going to have a really high upfit and relatively high rent. You know, because we're mobile, and then you can lease the vans. So the vans can be 100% leased and then all the upfit of the vans. So it's really, you know, not a ton of cash up front to start a franchise like ours.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about vehicles. What do you suggest a new franchisee start with? How large should their fleet be? And about how many employees should they anticipate having when they launch the business?
Yeah, so our standard is and it's good you mentioned this. Sometimes they kind of think, oh, if it's a mobile app, maybe they do that 1099 thing that Uber does. But we do not do that. They are employees because we really want to own the customer experience. So, you know, our franchisees so far have started with between two and five vans. You know, I would not recommend one because you got kind of a single point of failure there. And a lot of it depends on how rapidly they want to scale because, you know, you know, if there's not a van available and there's demand, you're not going to make revenue on that. So, you know, so somewhere in there, and then we have a ratio of 1.5 technicians per van because we do run 7 days a week, essentially during daylight hours. So it works out to be about 12 hours a day. So you kind of have to cover 84 hours of the week. Now on weekends, it does tend to be a little bit slower. So if you had five vans, maybe you only have two or three that go out on weekends or something like that. So you don't have to have two times the number of you know, vans to technicians. So that's why it's a 1.5 ratio there.
That it makes so much sense. And with you also talking about leasing the vans versus actually buying them, that certainly helps with that startup cost. So now that we're kind of talking about the cost of it, what is the franchise fee and what are some of the financial requirements that Spiffy has for franchisees?
Yeah, what we say in our FDD is it's going to take between $75,000 and $150,000 to start. We have that range because it's the number of vehicles that and kind of the size of the warehouse are the two big variables in the system to get started. You know, we've had franchisees tell us already they've come in underneath that. So, but you know, we try to, another thing that's a big part of our brand and our DNA is to under-promise and over-deliver. So we try to be relatively conservative on these numbers. And so for that, you know, for those economics, you get exclusivity in a 20-mile radius. So we typically use the airport as a good center. So we'll kind of take the airport and then draw a 20-mile radius, and that's what you get. You know, we have really good demographic data, so we can actually work with franchisees and say, all right, in this geographic area, we think you're going to end up with here's the airport and the rental car market and other fleets. So we think fleet is going to be a certain percent of your business. Here's the office park view of the world. And we think that's going to be this piece and then residential. And then we can actually, you know, help them think about which, because we have so much data, this business is heavily data driven. We can help them figure out which office parks to target, which fleets to target. And you know, feedback we get from potential franchisees is they love the fact we have a really big list of existing national relationships we can draw on. So, so usually day one, we can turn on a bunch of fleet business. And then office parks, we can help them sell into, and then a bunch of consumer. And even there, we can target the right zip codes and neighborhoods to go into to start out with.
And, you know, do you also help your new franchisees in understanding, other than the list that you guys have of national accounts and national relationships, Do you also help them in getting out into the community? A lot of people don't understand what that means sometimes, Scott, because I was in corporate for 30-something years. And so when I came out of corporate, I was told to network, and I didn't have a clue as to what that meant. Is some of that included in your training to new franchisees?
Yeah, it is. We walk them through our sales team. We're here to support them, and we do a lot of the national work. But there is, a bunch of selling that happens at the local level. And mm-hmm. in the business community, that can take a lot of flavors. It can be going to the local business groups and talking to them. A lot of the property managers we deal with are members of this thing called BOMA. So we recommend going to those meetings. You've probably seen, when people think about car washes, there's a lot of charity things involved there. So we have a big mm-hmm. playbook of how to run a PTA kind of a thing where, if people get SPC, they get, a percentage of that goes to the PTA. Do have a lot of that level of community involvement as well. Homeowners associations are important as well. They can help raise awareness. As you go into dense living like apartments, there's a lot of property managers on that side that are good to socialize with. There's tons of touch points when it comes to networking for car washes across that spectrum of fleets, dense office parks, dense living, and then neighborhoods.
Yeah, I just don't want the listeners to get the impression that, you fill up their accounts, their chart of accounts, because when you become a franchisee, you're a business owner, and that means you still have to get out and get the business and market the business. So even though Spiffy has those relationships with the national accounts, it doesn't mean that you get to hang up your shingle and all of a sudden you get all of these requests. It takes work, doesn't it?
It does. And, we do have, our marketing team does do quite a bit of support. And the way we set it up is we do the marketing for you. Part of the franchise fee is included in that. So we will run the normal Google, Facebook ads and the things we've got tons of experience running. But for a lot of the local connections, it's a local game. You need to get FaceTime with, the people that are going to be making these decisions. So that's where kind of the mid-market fleets, the office park managers and the neighborhood kind of associations and those types of people, it's good to get some FaceTime with.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, I'm coming up to commercial break here, but I tell you what, I would love to hear some stories. Would you happen to have any stories of maybe some of your franchisees or some success stories?
Yeah. One of our early, do you want to do it now or after?
Can we hear those stories when we come back from commercial break?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Folks, be sure to stay with us. We're going to be right back with more about Spiffy.
House Talk Radio. Join Tony and Wendy Gambone on House Talk Radio, where they talk all things house. From tips on home repairs and remodeling to best practices on buying and selling a home, hiring contractors, home loans, and insurance, as well as decorating ideas and how to get the most bang for your buck. If you would like more information about House Talk Radio, go to housetalkradio.com.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. Linda by Aesthetos is a catalyst to becoming a business owner through franchising. Whether you are looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle, allowing you to enjoy the fun things in life, or if you're looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come, contact Linda today to start the process of being your own boss. Linda at empowerfranchiseconsulting.com, 832-640-4922.
Hey folks, welcome back to All Things Franchising. Linda Ballesteros here, and my guest is Scott Wingo, and he is the founder, the CEO and founder of Spiffy. And when we broke for commercial break, Scott, I asked if you happen to have some stories to share with us.
Yeah. One of our first franchisees is up in Wilmington, Delaware. And, they started with two trucks and then they have ordered several more. So I think they've been pleasantly surprised by the amount of demand. So we started them with some national accounts and that occupied more than half the week. And then we started doing some consumer marketing for them. And the thing that has surprised me, I'm a big digital marketer, is we really don't have to shout from the mountaintops, because once you have that great first experience, the word of mouth is pretty amazing. And then our vans are designed to stir conversations. Imagine a 6 foot tall blue van, with kind of a professional brand to it, but our logo is a penguin. And, for some reason, and then on the truck, we also have how you can download the app and a lot of our branding there. So what you'll see is you'll go do one service in a neighborhood and then suddenly you'll get three or four more services and that becomes 10 services. And so, what so far the feedback we're getting is that people are surprised how little demand they have to generate, because the service speaks for itself. And then the fact you have these trucks driving around generates a lot of interest in what we're doing.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. You know, Scott, when I'm thinking about, opening up a territory, it doesn't really have to be a very large territory, does it, to really sustain a franchise, does it?
Yeah, where we're targeting is, because we're doing kind of a hybrid model where we're opening our own cities, we're doing some of the larger cities, like, we're doing San Francisco, for example. But we are finding, even within a radius of that, there's tons of opportunity. If you look at like California or Texas, there's so many cities and so much population that, where we're targeting franchisees is in the 500,000 to a million people within this kind of 20-mile radius. So, we've got like Wilmington, North Carolina, here in the Carolinas, we've got a lot of areas. So there's several hundred cities we think that would be a great fit for what we're offering. Mm-hmm. And then we want to keep it above that 500, but we are eventually going to experiment below there, because I don't think that's a requirement. You need, you could have a couple hundred thousand people in the area and still build a great business.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is there a difference in the way you offer your services in states that are more northern, that during the winter time, maybe they don't require a car wash as much? I live in Houston and we have to have our cars washed all the time year round because it's so humid here. But it's, it's not a problem to go to have your car washed. But how about up north?
Yeah. So up north, what you find is, because they salt the streets, people actually want to wash their car more, but they're not able to because the car wash is closed due to freezing weather. So for those folks, we provide an enclosure. We call it a little igloo, kind of sticking with our penguin friend. And, it's not something you'd want to do in a residential setup, but it works great for office parks or high density living, where you go set up, imagine a kid's jumpy house kind of thing, but you can, it inflates and it's a little mini portable garage where we can put the vehicle in there, close it up, it's heated, and then we can do our thing in there and get it done. So that helps kind of counteract the winter months. And then what we found is oil changes have to happen all the time and they're not as weather sensitive. So, you can use the igloo for those, but a lot of times our fleet partners will provide, more of a covered area or a garage type of a situation where we go in and do our service and not be impacted by inclement weather.
Yeah. That's fascinating to me that you've thought of everything. I just love the model that you've put together here. And if someone's listening, Scott, and they are intrigued by Spiffy and want to know more information, whether it's about the service or actually a franchise opportunity, how would they find more information?
Yes, so our website is getspiffy.com, G-E-T-S-P-I-F-F-Y, or they could download the app from the app store, just search for Spiffy. We're on both the iOS and Android app stores. And then if you're interested in franchising, just go to getspiffy.com/franchise, and that's where we have all the information about how a franchise would work.
Wonderful. So we're down to those final three questions here, Scott. The first one is, if there is someone listening who's considering purchasing a franchise, what would you suggest they do to prepare for the process?
Yeah, so I'm, being a four-time entrepreneur, a lot of it is kind of the risk-reward calculus that each person goes through on an individual level. So I would, I would think long and hard before starting any business about, what are the risks and the rewards. It's kind of a two-column, kind of balance thing. And if there's a lot of people that can't handle the risk of what we do in being entrepreneurs, and that's totally fine. So a lot of it is really coming to terms and doing some soul searching around that is what I would recommend for anybody. Mm-hmm. Is this going to keep you up at night? And you're going to have good days and bad days. And are those bad days going to really kind of eat away at you, or can you just kind of bust through those and get to the other side? That's the big calculus I've seen people go through.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. As a matter of fact, as a franchise broker, what I tell people, Scott, is being in business for yourself, whether it's independent business or whether it is a franchise, it is not for the faint at heart. So know that there will be long hours and there will be times that you'll be up at night. Maybe the up at night creative ways or sending out emails, whatever it takes, but it's not a job. And you should never look at owning your own business as a job, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And, there's always the flip side of that coin, though, is you're your own boss. And if you want to leave at 3 to go to your kid's baseball game, you can do it, right? Now you may have to stay up an extra hour to do whatever you missed from 3 to 4, but at least you get to control your side, so your own time. So that is, that is the nice thing about it is you control your own destiny, which is why I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the second question here is, what are two traits that make a successful franchisee?
Yeah, so I would say someone that likes kind of cars is kind of part of our world. If you're not a car person or interested in kind of cars, part of what's also going on at Spiffy is cars are going to change more in the next 10 or 20 years with electrification, autonomy, and all this kind of connected car. So we found people that have kind of an intellectual interest in that are kind of a good fit. And then the second one is, I've been at this for 6+ years and I learn 50 things a day and every day is different. And I love that. But there's some people that they don't like that, especially the unpredictability of it all. Some that freaks some set of people out. Right. And that's the people that need that 9-to-5 job where there's a lot of, kind of not sameness, not different things. So those are the two things. So, someone that's kind of just insanely curious, interested in cars and willing to, wake up and be excited. They don't know exactly what today holds for them. And that's kind of fun and exciting, not stress inducing.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you in that, Scott, that I really enjoy knowing every day is going to be different. When I was in corporate, it got to the point where I thought, I cannot do this one more day because it's just like yesterday. It's like Groundhog Day. And so, what I've created today, the businesses that I've created today, they certainly, every day looks different. And I really like that. It's a bit of a challenge. But it certainly keeps it all interesting. So Scott, the last question here is, what does the future of franchising look like?
Yeah, I think, I'm new to franchising. So when I thought of it, I was kind of squarely in the restaurant world, and I think this whole services going digital is going to be really fascinating. And I think it's going to cause a renaissance in franchising. An example I like to point to is the Amazon Delivery Service Partner Program, or Amazon DSP. They built that insanely fast, and there's something like several thousand franchisees that have taken advantage of that very quickly. And you know, the economics, I think you can get started in that system for less than $10,000 or $20,000. So,
right,
so as,
exactly.
You know, with these kind of mobile use cases, I think it's going to be exciting because the amount of investment, you know, before doing what we're doing, I would have thought, all right, you got to have a couple million dollars or ability to get to that. I think it's going to really create a much lower bar for people to get into franchising, and that's going to be exciting. And you know, hopefully more and more people that have that entrepreneurial bug do get into whatever franchise they want to. And I think some of these mobile options are going to be a great scenario to lower the bar for that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I'm thinking expanding a spiffy franchise would be as simple as leasing another vehicle. It would be very easy to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then the we even part of our playbook is when to do that. So we can actually see when the demand is kind of the other kind of fun thing in our data is we can actually kind of see the demand forming and say to you, mm-hmm. you know, it's maybe a good time to add a truck here because you're kind of running it, we kind of look at the utilization. If you're running your current fleet at kind of 90%, that's mm-hmm. typically the signal you can add another vehicle and it'll lower it for a little bit, but it just implies that supply is greater, less than
sure.
demand and it's time to add more supply. So yeah, so that's what we do in all of our cities is we're constantly looking at that and figuring out where to add essentially trucks and then you hire a technician and you're off to the races.
Yeah, it's a very simple plug-and-play type of system, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Once you get the warehouse, there's really, you know, you can scale to, you know, we have cities that have 30 trucks in them, believe it or not, and still see the demand outstrip the supply. Right. So it can scale up very quickly.
Wow, that's amazing. Scott, we are down to the end of the show here. And one more time, if someone is listening and they want to know more about Spiffy's franchise opportunity or the services you guys offer, where would they go?
Yeah, it's getspiffy.com and then getspiffy.com/franchise.
Pretty simple. Thanks so much, Scott. I love what you guys are doing and I really look forward to following you.
Thanks, Linda. Really appreciate it. And thanks for inviting us today.
Absolutely. So, folks, you know, when we're looking at business opportunities, you look at what is needed out there. So you look at what is the service that you offer and what is what would be the solution? What are the pain points out there? So I want to leave you with this quote, and it goes like this. The mantra for any business should be, ease your customer's pain. And that is a quote by Hazel Edwards, and she is an Australian author. And this is what I've said all along, is that if a company is easing their customer's pain, that customer will be with you for a very long time. So I want to thank you, everybody, for being with me today on All Things Franchising. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Another great episode of All Things Franchising is now in the books. You can listen to past shows by following All Things Franchising on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure not to miss us next time when we bring you a brand new episode of All Things Franchising.